This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. On a ship, fantasize. All your dreams will come true
miles away. Our voices will bring. We are back, Hollywood Casino Press Box, on the all new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12 o'clock. Maryville University is one of our great sponsors. Maryville University students receive an extraordinary level of academic, personal, career support, beginning with their first steps in transition from high school to college. Go to maryville.edu. We can't tell you how much we appreciate the Bomarito Automotive family also being with us on the press box. Go to bomarito.com and search through their extensive inventory of new cars and pre-owned cars and see if they don't have the right car for you. They win state championship after state championship, meaning they sell the most cars in the state of Missouri every year. Go to bomarito.com for more information. All right, good program lined up for you today. Chris Kerber, 10:45, live from the rink. We'll get his take on the Blues as we speak and who will be in goal. Earl Austin Jr. is going to join Martin and I at 11:20, talking college and high school basketball in the area. And very shortly, we're going to have our special guest of the day. And he is Oliver Connolly, the most knowledgeable football guy on the planet Earth. He writes for The Guardian. He writes for The Score. Nobody knows football like Oliver Connolly. He joins us now. Oliver, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Frank. How are you?
Very good. Boy, so much to discuss from NFL draft to NFL playoff weekend. Let's begin with the draft, and I want to begin locally. I'm sure you watched Drew Locke from Mizzou. What do you think, Locke, at the next level? What do you think of the way he finished off his collegiate career?
I have trepidations about him in terms of the development and the leap he can make just schematically. The stuff they did was so specific and unique to Mizzou that trying to extrapolate it and trying to figure out what system he could fit in is really difficult from just an evaluating standpoint. But I 100% think he's going to be a first-round pick, and I presume he's going to be a top-10 pick. That the need is so desperate, the arm is so, so special that someone will fall in love with him. And then you get some of the mobility stuff as well, which is the name of the game in 2019. So I really believe I would be stunned if he didn't go in the top 15. I think he'll go much higher.
In terms of your ranking of quarterbacks, and now we have a late word about the Heisman Trophy winner possibly moving to football, how would you rank the top four quarterbacks or three or four quarterbacks right now?
If Kyler comes out, I think it's Kyler and then the rest. I like Dwayne Haskins, but he is so up and down week to week. And the stuff he does well, it's excellent. But he just isn't very athletic. He isn't mobile. He doesn't see things very well. So if Kyler decides not to and Dwayne Haskins becomes the guy everyone's saying is going to go to the top five, go to the Giants or what have you, that would really concern me. And then I do think, personally, there's a big drop-off from even Haskins to the rest. It just isn't very dense at the top of the draft for quarterbacks.
So do you think Locke, we hear a report yesterday that John Elway and the Denver Broncos at 10, do you think that would be a wise move for them?
I don't think it would be a wise one, but he took Paxton Lynch and you kind of get similar type makeup. I think Locke is much further along than Paxton Lynch ever was. The guy never got on the field in the pros. So I can absolutely see the fit. If John Elway believes that a power arm is the guy he wants to go to, which we've seen him do with Osweiler, we've seen him do with Lynch, that fit to me makes a ton of sense. It just wouldn't be something I'd do if I was running the Broncos.
What about Daniel Jones from Duke?
Yeah, he's the one who preseason, everyone was like, keep an eye on this guy. He's working with Cutcliffe. You know, that means that he's going to develop him well. And again, it's a lot of what can we develop him into. I think he is the most likely to come in and have success right away just because he's played in a multifaceted offense. So he knows everything from the neck up already, just protections and all the little nuanced stuff. But I just don't see the critical decision-making. The big problem with him, Frank, is field awareness, which at the next level is going to get you killed. If you cannot visualize and see where the hot route is, where the blitz is coming from, you're in trouble, and he's just a nightmare in that department.
So Kyler Murray, same college as Baker Mayfield, same type of size. How are they different, and who has a bigger upside?
Kyler is a world-class athlete. Baker's a good athlete. Kyler's a world-class athlete. He routinely, that touchdown people remember against Texas, remember the first time they played?
Yeah.
The play broke down. He took off down the sideline. He hit like a fifth and sixth gear that a Big 12 five-star recruit defensive back couldn't reach, which is just unheard of at that position. So he truly is the most dynamic athlete I've ever seen at that position. And then the release is so peculiar, and it's hard to explain on the radio. He has taken his batting swing and made a football throwing motion, and he was forced to change his batting swing, which forced him to change his throwing motion, and it has unlocked this peculiar motion, which is very similar to Aaron Rodgers, where he is better when both feet are in the air than when they are planted, which makes no sense, I understand, but all the torque comes from his right hip. Therefore, he can never not be accurate when he's off platform. And all those things teams get concerned about of what happens when he's pressured, and you hear it all the time, what happens when he gets hit. It's irrelevant to him because he's better when he moves anyway.
We're talking with Oliver Connolly from The Guardian and The Score. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Back to Drew Locke for just a moment. Because he's similar in size with Flacco and Gabbert, which career could he have? I mean, is it a stretch to say he could have Flacco's career, or do you think he's more of a backup and a part-time starter like Gabbert?
No, I think that if you told me he had a similar, just like the arc of Flacco, and he got in the right system, which I really believe has to be kind of a fun and gun Kansas City type system. If you can get him in that, where you're happy to say, we're going to have 10 to 12 shot plays a game, where we are just going to go deep, and that's our entire offense, and everything else is going to be very basic for him. There is no reason why, if he's surrounded with the right talent, he couldn't have success and do what Flacco did, where you just get on a hot streak and you go and win a championship. That is absolutely there. He just isn't reliable and predictable week to week.
All right, let's go NFL thoughts. Philadelphia at New Orleans. The Eagles lost, I believe, by 41 points to the Saints. They do have the Nick Foles magic. How do you see this one unfolding?
I really want to pick the Eagles. It's just one of those ones where something special feels like it's going on there. But the Saints are the better team. So it's like almost a head-heart type situation where there's just a feeling that I think the Eagles have something. And the big matchup disadvantage there is the Saints' offensive line has not allowed any pressure all season, in part because Drew Brees gets rid of the ball so quickly. But when you go through that Eagles defensive front, that is basically an all-pro. If they named that as the all-pro roster, as the front, outside of Aaron Donald, that would be perfectly reasonable. So that's just a gigantic matchup. If that Eagles front can get pressure, they have a real shot.
Dallas and the Rams, we're all Cowboy fans for obvious reasons this weekend. I want to get your take on Dak Prescott, who maybe doesn't have all the tools that some of the elite quarterbacks in the league have, but he does seem to be able to run a team extremely well in the fourth quarter. That stat about come from behind wins is incredible for Dak Prescott. How do you see Dallas at L.A.?
I think the Rams will win. I love Dak Prescott. He's one of my favorite of the young crop of guys. And when people are talking about him early in the season, getting down on him, I'm just looking around going, have you seen how beat up the offensive line is? They took out a Hall of Famer from the middle of the offensive line. The left tackle went down. He's throwing only to Cole Beasley. Then they get Amari Cooper and things start to open up, and we see what I believe is the true Dak Prescott, who does not get the credit for how unbelievably intelligent he is, particularly just manipulating people with his eyes and all those little things that sometimes you can miss when you're just watching on the TV. He is just leaps and bounds ahead of so many of the young players in terms of that little technical stuff. So I could not rave enough about Dak Prescott. I just think in this game, the Rams are a more complete team. Dallas is so up and down quarter to quarter, you're not quite sure what you're going to get.
All right, maybe the most intriguing game of the weekend is Indianapolis at Kansas City. Nobody is playing better on the offensive line than the Colts right now. They've won 10 and 11. Andrew Luck is feeling it. How do you see it?
This one is exciting because what's weird about the Chiefs is they are not bad. They look like they're a bad defense because some of the numbers are terrible, but that is only against defending the run. They're one of the best in the league at defending the pass. It's just running the ball, and then you have the Colts go in last week against Houston, which is the top-ranked rush defense in the league, and they run all over them. So if the Colts can come in and do that again, which all the numbers say they should do, I just don't know. I really believe the Colts. I think this is going to be a field goal game, and I think the Colts really have a chance with a last-second field goal.
Then the final game, the Chargers at New England. It's actually a 12:05 game on Sunday. Phillip Rivers has never beaten Tom Brady. Will he this weekend?
I think he's got a real shot. My big question is, is there an extra gear for Gronkowski? Because he's been kept in the garage all season long. We've seen a couple of flashes. Is he just broken? Which I personally think that's just where we're at now. He runs like a guy who was contemplating retirement last offseason. Can he ratchet it up? Have they been preserving him to go in the postseason? Because on all third downs, even this year, Brady looks to Gronkowski. And if they cannot convert third downs because Gronk isn't as healthy as they would like him to be, the Chargers, I think, are going to have a real chance.
What do you make of a couple of these coaching hires? The Jets about to hire Adam Gase, who was a failure. Is that kind of strange? I mean, with Mike McCarthy out there, don't you go that route?
It's just an odd one. He must have wowed in an interview or something. It's not like they've seen him twice a year in the division. They've seen what he's all about. It's just, he has been given this mantra of a quarterback whisperer essentially because Peyton Manning vouches for him. And that was Peyton Manning's offense when they're in Denver together. So I do not understand the fascination with Adam Gase.
What about what could happen in Cincinnati where they're looking at two retreads?
Well, that's the cheapest franchise in the league. So what happens with a lot of that stuff that I don't think people understand is when you go into an interview, it's almost framed as owners interviewing coaches, right? But a lot of it is, what is my coaching salary pool going to be? Because all that stuff is off the cap. So it's, what's my coaching salary pool going to be? Who can I bring in? Can I bring my own guys in? And that's a lot of the conversations that happen. And when you go into Cincinnati, they say, yeah, we basically pay minimum wage in coaching terms for the coaching staff. That's why Marv Lewis hired all his friends. That's why guys like Hugh Jackson came back there, because they know the deal. And it's a lot of guys within that little circle that would stay and recycle around. So if you're a coach and you have multiple options, which a lot of these guys do, why would you go there where you are unable to hire the top of the top of the, you know, the guys you would want to be coordinators and position coaches?
I kind of like the other hire in Ohio, though, the Freddie Kitchens. He worked magic with Baker Mayfield. I mean, how can you mess up the chemistry between the head coach and the quarterback?
Who'd have thought that maybe installing some of the plays he ran in college that he actually knows would be a success? It's almost magical.
Hmm. What do you think, speaking of college coaches, I'd love to get a national take on Barry Odom. I know a lot of people were upset after, you know, the bowl loss. It was just a baby step from 7 victories to 8 victories. What are you seeing with Barry Odom?
I am mightily impressed. I was really down on him coming into the year, and I'll hold my hands up and say I was completely wrong, because I just like the culture that he's established, and I know that's kind of a vapid, vague term. But if you go back a couple of years when he first started and you just look at the way they were playing compared to the way they played this season, to me, it's night and day. They were not competitive with Power 5 teams for the longest time. Now, clearly, they are. And it's just going to take time to get the athletes. He just doesn't have to run the stuff they want to run. He needs really good athletes. And so it's going to come down to pure recruiting. He is not running a system where they can out-scheme people week to week. He needs to get excellent athletes, and that's going to take him some time.
He does have one coming in to replace Drew Locke and Kelly Bryant. What about Bryant? What are your thoughts on him?
I think he's brilliant. He unfortunately was usurped by a guy who is, you know, Peyton Manning 2.0. It's really hard to keep your job when Peyton Manning rolls into town. So I really think he's brilliant. And in that offense, now you get a much more mobile guy than Drew Locke. I really think that thing is going to take off next season.
So you believe Trevor Lawrence is the next Peyton Manning?
That's probably hyperbole. I think he's got it. I mean, when I watch him, and I've been fortunate enough to study the all 22 of them all season long, there is a whiff of Manning about him. There's more Stafford, I think, college Stafford, more so than the Detroit one. So I see him more just the willingness to drive the ball downfield. But he is, I've never, ever, ever seen a freshman, let alone a true freshman, run a system the way he does it, and then with the willingness to take the shots downfield. It's just remarkable.
Do you believe that Tua Tagovailoa is a great pro?
He's got a long way to go. I think he's in that really weird phase where, I mean, he's playing 3/4 a game, and a lot of it's so easy for him. I mean, how many touchdowns they have this year that are 60-yard slant passes? So he just hasn't had the reps against high, high-level competition, really complex defenses, and we saw in the national title game, when suddenly there's a zone blitz coming, he hasn't seen it all season, he's bamboozled by it. So I really believe, and I've felt this for a long time with him, that he also is truly special. It's just that the more I think about it and the more I watch him, he just isn't going up against the kind of stuff that we need to see yet. So it's really, I think, hindering his development somewhat.
Well, who does he remind you of? Is there anybody in the league?
Tua right now. Baker Mayfield, he's got some Baker to him, less of the swagger, but it's like the power running more so than the nimbly running. So I think there's some Baker in there. That'd probably be the closest comparison.
And who is your number one player in college football in terms of pro potential? Guys that are going to be in the draft this year, who do you think's just a can't miss?
I think Quinnen Williams, the Alabama D lineman. He is just, that is not quite in Ndamukong Suh levels, but you go through some of the film. The LSU tape, that's like for mature audiences only. It is scary good.
Good stuff. Oliver, somebody wants to read you and follow you on Twitter. Just give us all the ways they can do it, because I know they're impressed with everything you have to say.
Ollie Connolly is Twitter. That's the hub for everything I write at The Guardian, The Score. So if you just go to Twitter and follow at Ollie Connolly, then that's where you can find my work.
Honored to have you on, sir. Thank you.
Always fun. Thanks.
All right. Oliver Connolly joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Maryville University sponsors the phone lines, and pretty soon on that phone line, we're going to talk with Chris Kerber. Their Digital World program provides students with free iPads loaded with textbooks and more than 150 apps. The program is designed to engage students as critical thinkers. Go to maryville.edu. We'll be right back with Chris Kerber.